You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Down with the king!
Yo, you know what it's about, so let's tell them why you're mad.
You know what really grinds my gears?
I'm mad!
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
Now for something completely different.
It's time for a royal rant presented by the Kings of Sport.
Iguodala to inbound. Shumpert trying to stay with Curry. Catches one dribble, steps back, puts up a three. Won't go. Rebound tip taken by Spates. Final seconds. It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions. Cleveland's long sports nightmare has ended. The drought is over. 52 years. Time to celebrate a title.
I'm just a little mad at niggas coming at my neck like my teammate the best in the world. You know what I'm saying? Like we ain't got B, Cam, J, Bleak, Freeway.
LeBron James.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. It is a very special Royal Rant edition of the show coming to you moments after the NBA Finals concluded and moments after... We thought the WWE's Money in the Bank was going to be finished, but it's still ongoing, so we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But who am I, you ask? I am your host, the Godfather Nate Milton, and I'm joined, as always, by my partner in crime, Marcus. Oh, Sinner Man, where you going to run to, Vandenberg? What's going on, my brother?
LeBron James, LeBron James, LeBron James.
LeBron James.
LeBron James.
Man, like, this has been a really great week for sports, and there's a reason why you and I decided to delay the show, because we had a feeling once the NBA Finals went to a Game 7 and we looked at the calendar and realized Money in the Bank was going to be occurring at the same time, we had to push the show back so we could get the people our in-the-moment reactions to these two big events.
Yes, it is currently 11 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Pacific, and this pay-per-view is still going on, but the NBA Finals is now over, and wow, what a game.
And so the Warriors won, right? Because it's Game 7 and Oracle, there's no way the Warriors could lose this thing.
Yeah, I mean, they were the best team in basketball, right? 73
Yeah, historically good.
Wait. Breaking news. LeBron James. Actually, Kyrie Irving. LeBron was fine and all, but, I mean, Kyrie's the one who sort of stepped up late, so...
Yes, the Cleveland Cavaliers are your new NBA champions, defeating the Golden State Warriors 93-89. The game just wrapped up about 10 minutes ago. And the curse is over, Marcus. The long-suffering people of Cleveland, Ohio can finally celebrate.
I mean, technically, Cleveland had a champion in Stipe Miocic. I mean, let's just be real here.
If you want to claim him, you might as well claim the Miz. The Miz was U.S. champion.
He was world champion. That is true. So the Miz, Stipe,
LeBron.
The Cavs went up third.
Oh, man. This was a series. I don't know how to describe it, Marcus, because games 1 through 6 were not good. A lot of blowouts. But game 7 was, to me, one of the best game 7s I've seen in a long time.
would you say it was better than, and I can't answer because I'm totally biased because I was at this game, but was it better than Celtics Lakers in 2010?
Oof. No. I would say no just because I think that game was better, but also the series as a whole was better.
Yeah, that series was a lot closer. And I think, you know, we had the Kyrie moment at the end of this game, but that game had, I think, two moments down the late during that game was the Fisher shot, and Artest had a three, I believe, that sort of locked it up for the Lakers. But I guess the games were similar in the sense that both teams at times struggled offensively. Yeah. And I think maybe it was just, you know, running out of gas, but at the end of that fourth quarter, neither team could hit a shot before Kyrie made that three.
And I got to tell you, like, if I was a fan of the Cleveland Cavaliers or somebody that resides in Cleveland, Ohio, or the surrounding communities, full disclosure, before we started recording tonight, I had a chance to talk to Hat Club Andy, friend of the program, our Cleveland correspondent and co-host of the Axology podcast here on the High Voltage Network. And this man was almost in tears, Brother Marcus.
Crying like LeBron.
His whole life he has existed without a championship. And now he has one.
You know, I can't relate because I live in Los Angeles where championships are sort of, well, at least in one sport. Well, two sports. I mean, the teams have been good recently. But
yeah.
So I don't know what that pain is like. I don't know if I'd be crying if, like, the Lakers were, not the Lakers, but the city of Los Angeles had this 50-plus year drought and it was snapped. But I can definitely understand why LeBron was filled with emotions considering, you know, this is his backyard. He had this promise about coming back to Cleveland, winning them a title, and the fact that he was down 3-1 and had overcome this adversity, I mean, it's quite the story.
Right, and not only that, but and I think you might be the same way, Marcus. I am somebody who really is bugged or bothered when people in the media talk about legacies for guys who are still active. Mm-hmm. When that's every game is a referendum on this person's greatness. But in this case, it's the rare game where this was actually a legacy-defining moment. Because if LeBron loses this, yes, he had a historic finals performance, and he could arguably be considered, even if the Cavs lost, he could have been considered the MVP of the series. But to come back from down 3-1, to put together the games that he put together in Game 5 and Game 6, and then to cap it off with a triple-double in Game 7, and to deliver, like we said, the first championship to Cleveland in most of our listening audience, and I'm sure most of the people watching at home, most of their lifetimes. I think this was that moment where LeBron kind of cemented his legacy. Like, he was already going to be one of the greatest players in NBA history, but this, like, you can't say nothing about LeBron after this.
I think Bomani said it best on Twitter. He's bulletproof now. I mean,
yeah.
This sort of cements his legacy in terms of what you can say about LeBron, especially when it comes to him being a clutch player in the NBA Finals. I mean, he did it in Miami, and he's now done it in Cleveland. And it does make you sort of wonder, and if I'm Cleveland fans, not to pile on and your great celebration, but I would be slightly nervous because he came back. He did what he said he wanted to do. And he can opt out this summer, become a free agent. And you know who else is a free agent this summer?
Who would that be, Marcus?
Dwayne Wade.
They're not friends, are they?
BFFs.
But here's the thing, though. Even if he did that, man, if I'm in Cleveland, I can't be mad.
Yeah, I mean, a logical Cleveland fan can't be mad. I feel like there's some who'd still be.
Like, dude, well, took Dan you to the Gilbert finals 2 years one. In a row and won you a championship. You can't hate that man.
Yeah.
So you say Dan Gilbert might write another slave mastery type of letter?
He might be upset.
Boy, I put clothes on your back and food on your table.
Pretty much.
How could you do me like this? Oh, but man, this was, and I know we're going to talk wrestling a little bit later, but this series was very much like a WWE storyline.
Oh, it was.
Even
to the final free throw.
Yes, yes. Yeah, when we had the conspiracy theories, we had Draymond getting suspended. We had the double turn where somewhere in the course of this series, the Cavs went from the heels to the baby faces, mm-hmm. and much like Hogan and Rock at WrestleMania, the Warriors went from the lovable baby faces to the heels. And then, like you said, in Game 7, with, what was it, like less than 30 seconds to go?
About the LeBron play or Kyrie?
Yeah, the LeBron. I'm talking about the LeBron play. When
oh,
LeBron
that, was,
went
that was 10 seconds.
With 10 seconds to go, LeBron goes up for a layup, gets fouled by Draymond Green, of course, and is just laying on the ground. Comes back, misses the first free throw with the bum wrist. And you're like, oh, what's going to happen? They're only up by three.
Mm-hmm.
Hits the second free throw. And then after that, Cleveland was able to hold on. And, man, this was a – like, you couldn't have written – I mean, you could have asked for better games, individual games, but you couldn't have written a better storyline from the NBA's perspective.
Yeah, I guess my only complaint would be the other six games weren't very close. So.
No.
And I think that, I mean, I know I was nervous watching this game, and I had no dog in the fight. But I think that's because we've been waiting all series for a competitive game.
Now, I know you picked Golden State going into the finals, but were you actively rooting for Golden State during the finals? And if so, did it change midway through the series? Because I know a lot of people that were... that, you know, had no dog in the fight, but were kind of cheering for Golden State for history, mm-hmm. that switched once Cleveland got down 3-1.
No, I would say coming in, I was pro-Warriors, and I'm still pro-Steph Curry. So I don't think that changed any, despite what happened in Game 6 and with Aisha or anything like that, no. But at the same time...
See, if this was a regular show, we'd be going out to another bad creation at the end of this segment.
Oh, God, yeah.
Aisha.
Oh, man. We should just include a break, a 30-second break to play ABC.
where is another bad creation?
That's a good question.
Probably having sex with ghosts like Bobby Brown.
Oh,
we'll talk about that next on the show. Well, not next week, technically. Later this week.
Yeah.
When we come back with a full show. But, man, I got a couple questions because... obviously, there are going to be people, and it's human nature. I don't know why. Like, why we can't just celebrate what Cleveland did tonight? There's going to be people finger-pointing at the Warriors and saying that they didn't live up to what they did this season and that the 73 wins is somehow diminished. What's your kind of final take on the Warriors' season this year, Marcus?
I think it's very similar to Steph as MVP. I think they're two separate events. You know, what Steph and Golden State did in the regular season, I don't look at that any differently than any differently now that they lost. I'm actually sort of intrigued now that they did lose. And if they're this motivated coming off a title last year, facing some adversity and some, now a lot of haters, I do wonder, depending on who they get in the offseason, God forbid if they get Kevin Durant somehow, but will this team be even somewhat better in the regular season just because they'll be extra motivated to now prove people that, in fact, they are the best team in the league.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting because Golden State is a team that I think is going to be in the conversation for a while. I don't think they're going to win five championships like your boy the professor predicted on this show. But I definitely think the Warriors aren't, you know, a one-hit wonder or a flash in the pan or anything like that. They're going to be around.
Yeah, I mean... yeah, Bogut wasn't probably a key factor, but you did notice a change once he was out of the picture. I think yeah. You saw the Cavaliers were a lot more aggressive in the paint. They had a lot more problems trying to control LeBron James because that rim protector is gone. Festus Ezeli, bless his heart. You saw what he did tonight on the field, on the court, including that dumb foul.
Yes.
Late with LeBron shooting a three. Varechal had his poor moments tonight in Game 7. So I do think the series did change a bit with Bogut out, but that's not, you know, a reason why Golden State lost or the reason why Cleveland came back to win. I do wonder now how much of this team they do keep intact. I mean, they have their core guys. I think the one guy who will be gone is Harrison Barnes because
yes.
he...
Oh, you mean the Invisible Man?
Yeah, he lost himself a lot of money this NBA Finals. So I think he's gone. So I think depending on who they can get to take his spot, it could be a big upgrade for that team.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting. I think another thing that's going to be interesting, Marcus, if we turn to the winning side of the ledger, is I think this is the end of Kevin Love in Cleveland, man. I think it's a wrap.
I think so, too.
Like, I'm glad that Kevin Love actually kind of showed up tonight and produced and gave him double-digit rebounds and actually did some things offensively. But, when LeBron was like, you either got to fit in or fit out, I think Kevin Love is going to be fitting out in this offseason.
Kevin Love, 9 points, 14 rebounds. He was a plus 19, though, on the court, which is probably a surprise to most people. He was the most, what's the term? Not efficient, but he had the highest plus-minus for the Cavs tonight at plus 19. So, sadly, I think the Knicks would be a funny landing spot for him. Probably the perfect landing spot for him.
Oh, man.
But if I'm the Lakers, I am probably curious about Kevin Love. Even though he's had a big contract, I do think that if they can build the right team around him where he doesn't have to be the number one guy, I think, you know, that could be interesting for him coming back to LA. And I think it would be also intriguing for Westbrook a year from now.
Yeah.
Who they are good friends. They were teammates at UCLA. He's another LA guy. So
you think there's a chance they can get both Love and DeRozan this offseason?
I think, they'd have to trade. I mean, the issue with Love would be the assets. I'm not sure who the Lakers have currently under contract who the Cavaliers would want. I mean, they're not going to trade Russell, I don't believe, and I don't think they would trade Randall for Kevin Love. So
no.
And Clarkson's a restricted free agent. So they'd be a little hamstrung there. But I do think that with the salary cap going up and the Lakers shedding some contracts, including Roy Hibbert's monster deal, that they should have some money to work with, and they'd probably eat two salaries of DeRozan and Love.
That'll be really interesting. That'll be really interesting. But I'm just getting back to the initial point of conversation. We were talking about who you were rooting for going into this. I was somebody that, like you, I didn't have a dog in this fight, but I was kind of leaning towards Cleveland just because, watching that damn documentary, that 30 for 30, it's the most depressing thing ever.
I still haven't watched it yet.
And they're going to have to do a bonus cut now, a director's edition. Well, they actually win in the end. But, yeah, I was just, man, it's just so sad and depressing. And it's kind of like when people want legalization of marijuana so that way the potheads won't have anything to complain about.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man, can Cleveland win so we can just stop this sad song over and over again?
It's easy punching bag, Cleveland as a city in general. Don't think the Browns would be any good this year or next year. Don't get your hopes up, Cleveland. I mean, stick with
it. Who knows? Maybe LBJ will put those hands on RG3 and he'll have the power.
Shit. Unless LeBron wants to play tight end for the Browns, I don't see them. I don't see them doing anything.
That would be something. LeBron's like, you know what? I'm going to retire from basketball. I'm just going to win all the Cleveland teams, championships.
I will say, you want to guess who's in first place in the AL Central?
Not the Indians.
Cleveland Indians.
Could this be the year, Cleveland? No, spoiler alert, it won't be.
Yeah, no.
Oh, man, but real quick, I would say my favorite part of this series, Marcus, was the interaction between the MVP and the best player in the game.
Ooh.
And I think those are two different people.
But the problem I have with that is 3 games ago, you would have said the MVP and the best player in the game is the same person.
So I don't know. My problem with Steph, and I love Steph Curry. I think my issue with Steph is he is very excellent. You know, he's kind of like, what's your boy, Liam Neeson from Taken? Mm-hmm. I have a very distinct set of skills. Steph Curry is the best at what he does. He's Chris Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nobody in the league that does what Steph does better than Steph. Maybe nobody in the history of the NBA that does what Steph does better than Steph. But for an all-around player, I still think LeBron is the best in the game. And I thought that before the series.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is I feel like LeBron goes 80% in the regular season.
Yeah.
And I feel like Steph probably goes to 95% in the regular season. So yeah, I think what you're seeing on a night-in, night-out basis is probably a better Steph Curry.
That's fair.
But when it comes down to...
And I also think with LeBron, like, we get to a point with LeBron where we kind of, even if he has a really good game, we've already seen that before. So he's graded on a different curve, I think.
Yeah, I mean, tonight, for example, for about 2.5 quarters, he was fine. He wasn't great.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's finished.
And those numbers sneak up on you, though, because like you're saying, like I looked up, and I think it was midway through the second quarter, mm-hmm. and he had a double-double.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, I didn't think he was being that productive, but like the assist numbers and the rebounds, and he had, I think, 3 key blocks in this game.
Like, yeah, he's including just, that one, that layup from Iggy, which I thought goaltending maybe, but no one complained about it, so.
Well, who knows? Aisha Curry hadn't had a chance to get on Twitter yet.
Oh, not you too.
This league is rigged.
Leave Aisha be.
Oh, man. But yeah, all in all, Marcus, I would say that this was a bad series with a satisfying conclusion.
Yes, that's fair.
Like, this is like a movie that just, for the first hour, it's like, man, this is terrible. But then...
Side note, what the hell is happening in this match? Did you see this? So Roman takes his spear, and now he's playing Dazed Confused with the... a black trainer, which, come on, we know that's not real in WWE. I've never seen a black trainer before. God, it's 8:20 Pacific time, and this match is still going.
Yeah. You wanna transition from the NBA and switch to the world of pro wrestling?
Yeah, because hopefully this match is about to end.
All right, so the Cavs, shout out to the people of Cleveland. Big up to the land and LeBron and everybody out there. Hat Club Andy, and we will have more coverage on the finals, especially the Cleveland perspective. Because Andy let us know that he will be attending the parade and all that good stuff. So hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to Andy later on this week and get the perspective up there in Cleveland. But now let's go from the Cavaliers cashing in to Money in the Bank. I'm rich, bitch. Shorty, what you drink? This is a show, Marcus, that I'm gonna be real with people. I'm not gonna lie.
Mm-hmm.
For the first 45 minutes of this show. Hey, get off them buses, people. Come on, Cleveland. I'm watching the coverage of Cleveland.
Oh,
in the
they acting up?
They not acting up yet, but it's like whenever you see a bunch of people standing on top of a bus, I don't think it's going to end well. You got like 30 people on top of a damn bus.
Did you see the police had to shut down the highways going in and out of Cleveland?
Yeah, it's going to be... Yeah, hopefully... they don't act like idiots tonight.
Act like thugs. Let's talk like by thugs. Their proper name.
No, they can't be thugs, Marcus. It's too many of our light-skinned, really light-skinned brothers and sisters out there. They're just being exuberant with their celebration.
They're just hooligans.
But,
could you imagine what would happen if you've seen all the Euro celebrations over in Europe during the...
Yeah.
Could you imagine if we acted that way? During the NBA finals every night.
Man.
Whoa. We had a title change. Wow.
And there you have it. Show's over. Good night. Oh, yeah. Let's talk some Money in the Bank. New champions crowned is, I guess that's the theme of the night, Mark.
Yes.
So, like I said, full disclosure, I missed like the first half of this show. Like it was on my laptop on the network, but the game was so compelling that I really wasn't paying attention.
So it is now 11:21. This show really started at 7 Eastern. We're looking at 4 hours and 21 minutes. And this is not a good trend for WWE.
They said it was a WrestleMania level show.
Yeah, they weren't kidding.
It's WrestleMania quality and length.
Uh-oh. Here comes Ambrose.
Let's see, will we have a live cash in? And there you have it, Brother Marcus. Could this be the best night in the history or the recent history of Ohio sports?
Ambrose, an Ohio guy?
Yeah, he's from Cincinnati.
That's right.
You got the Cincinnatian is your WWE World Heavyweight Champion, and King James and the Cavaliers are the NBA World Champions.
Are you a big Ambrose guy? I am not.
No. I think he is a quality worker, but he's been in some bad feuds lately. The Lesnar feud didn't do much for him, and the Jericho feud was just ridiculous. I think Ambrose is really good. He's a good guy to have in your upper mid-card and occasionally bring it to that main event. But in terms of being the guy with the title, he wouldn't be my first choice.
And I guess my second question would be, what happened with Roman? I mean, we know what happened with Roman, but why I decided to just do the switch now?
I don't know. I think most of us expected or assumed, going off of the segment on Raw, that we'd be headed towards a Shield three-way at SummerSlam. But I thought we would get there with Roman as the champion.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the big thing would be the ratings. The ratings have been absolutely horrible with Roman as champion.
Yeah.
Including last week, which was a new low, I think, since, 97 or something like that. So maybe they're just like, you know what? As much as we're trying with this guy, it's just not working, so we need to go in a different direction.
Yeah, I don't think this is them giving up on him, though. I think this is them trying to stir the pot a little bit. I think this, you know, they know that the three-way with Ambrose, Rollins, and Reigns, that Shield feud is probably one of the more interesting things for the fans, and will probably get the biggest response. And the good thing about this is you kind of dissipate the Reigns hate, I guess, because you've got three people instead of two. So, yeah, I think Roman is going to end up with the strap again. But I think this, as much as I'm not a big fan of Dean Ambrose, I think this is an interesting move. I like this move rather than Rollins going in with the title.
At the same point, this does not inspire me to watch Raw on a weekly basis. I am not now motivated to, I must watch Raw because Ambrose is the champion now. I still don't care, really.
Not at all.
All right, so cool. We agree on that, at least.
All right, so let's be real, Marcus. Ain't nobody got time to talk about this whole damn card.
Yeah, we can. Well,
ain't nobody got time for Baron Corbin and Dolph Ziggler.
Before we dive into that, we should probably talk Jerry Lawler.
Yeah.
Uncle Jerry.
We ain't even going to call him the king because he was not behaving royally.
He was not. Acting like a joker. A jester.
And another J word, but I ain't going to say it because we might have children listening.
Yes.
But yeah, let the people know what happened with Jerry Lawler and, I'm guessing, his ex-girlfriend or soon-to-be ex-girlfriend.
Can't assume these things, Nate. You can't assume these things.
You're right about
Sadly,
that.
Sadly, you did. Can't.
Yeah. And then, like, on that note, we will be, I know people want to hear our take on the OJ 30 for 30, but I think we're going to do that maybe
next week. Because I'm only in part two, so I had to finish. Yeah.
And I think Brian Mann wants to come back on because he really enjoyed it. So we can talk to Brian Mann next week about the OJ Made in America doc.
Okay. So early Friday morning, Jerry Lawler and his fiance Lauren McBride, who is like 20-something. Lawler is 66, in case you're keeping track at home. Were arrested after a domestic violence incident at their home, according to the affidavit McBride claims Lawler struck her in the head and pushed her against a stove, while Lawler claims McBride scratched him in the face, threw a candle at him, and kicked him in the groin. McBride also alleged that Lawler got an unloaded pistol, put it on the kitchen counter, and told her to kill herself. Lawler says McBride was intoxicated and claims McBride is the one who brought the pistol into the kitchen. So your classic, he said, she said.
Yeah, and this is obviously not a good look. It's, man, it's real. Like, we don't know exactly what happened, but either way you slice it, this was not a good look for Lawler, who has been suspended, correct?
Correct. He got suspended immediately. I mean, before, I think, Noon Eastern, he was suspended by the WWE, which is good on them. I mean, yeah, this is what the other leads need to do when it comes to this stuff. I mean, it's, you know, you have to treat it this way.
Yeah, especially when you get to a situation where there, where there are firearms involved, even if it was unloaded. Like, that takes it to a whole nother level.
Yeah, that's not good. So, I mean, I think the truth is probably somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do wonder if we'll ever see Lawler back on television.
That's a good question. I mean, even let's take this incident out of the equation, Marcus. I think Jerry Lawler's effectiveness as an announcer, like, he's way past his prime.
Oh, yeah. He wasn't very good.
He hasn't added anything to the broadcast in maybe a decade.
I think definitely since JR left, that's when he sort of...
Yeah.
I think him and Jim Ross were great together, but once Ross was gone, you sort of got to see some of the flaws in Lawler's broadcasting career.
Here's a cynical take, Marcus, but this might be a benefit, maybe a blessing in disguise for SmackDown, because they're the wrestling brand, and Jerry Lawler on SmackDown with Moro, it doesn't work, man.
It doesn't.
Like, you got Moro calling all these technical moves, and then Lawler over here trying to make silly-ass jokes. It's not a good fit, especially once we get to the brand split next month, when they're going to be going live, and, you know, as Brian Mann said when he was on the show, you know, they're going to go towards a more wrestling-oriented product. Jerry Lawler's not the guy to be a commentator for that.
No, and this opens up a job for Corey Graves, even, you know.
Yeah.
That's even better for Corey and for Moro, who I'm sure he probably thinks highly of the King as a wrestling fan, but at the same time, I'm sure he understands that his style probably doesn't mesh well with Lawler.
No, not at all, not at all. So, and, you know, I think we all respect, you know, what Lawler has meant to the business, but at some point, you know, there's got to be accountability. And depending on what comes out of this situation, if Jerry was in the wrong, I think that's a wrap in terms of him being on your flagship program every week. You can't have it.
No, you can't. And it sucks that it had to end this way if it ends this way. But I think you don't, you know, between this and Adam Rose, you don't want that stigma of why are these wrestlers beating their wives? Like, what's going on? Because that leads into other questions about, is it roid rage? You know, what's going on with whatever they're taking? I mean, they have a pretty solid drug test policy. But at the same time, it is kind of weird that you don't really hear about guys getting popped that often. Maybe that's the program being that good, or
I mean, oh sweet naive Marcus.
I know. I mean, besides, was it Victor or Connor? Besides him and Adam Rose getting popped, who's the last one? Hornswoggle.
And your boy Adam Rose. If there's anybody that needs to stay off of Twitter more than Aisha Curry, it's your boy Adam Rose.
Yeah, he's
just stop, dog. Just don't hit sin.
He's struggling. He's having a rough. Rough 2016.
Yeah, man. Oh, so let's go from the off-screen incidents to what we watched tonight on the WWE Network. And I think, Marcus, let's just talk about the main four/five, if you want to count Ambrose Rollins as a match. Let's talk about the big four matches.
Okay.
And the first of the big four matches was AJ Styles versus John Cena. And AJ Styles defeated John Cena with the help of the club.
But I thought they were banned.
Right. I thought they were banned. What did you think of this match, man?
I thought the match was solid. I think most people expected it to be. And, you know, I think the right man won in the right fashion. And I think this will be the first of three matches between the two of them.
Yeah.
And I think Cena will win at, was it Battleground next?
Yeah, Battleground's next.
Yeah, I think Cena will win at Battleground and then SummerSlam. It'll be Styles and that'll be the end of it. But yeah, I thought for what it was a pretty good match. And I will say the fans were into it, which was great.
Yeah, it was a really solid match. And like, I think it's a testament to, as long, you know, we mentioned how long this card was, but the top half of the card was pretty stacked with these four main matches. And I thought Styles and Cena was really good. But I think they have the potential to get even better. You know, this was their first go round and it was a solid match. I like the finish. I think it does set up the first of this trilogy. And I think at the end of the day, for as much as people want to say Cena is going to bury AJ, I think that's ridiculous. I think much like the Kevin Owens feud, I think this is only going to benefit AJ. And I think even more, like you said, at SummerSlam on that big stage in Brooklyn, AJ is going to get what Owens never really got. You know, he beat Cena, but he didn't get that definitive feud-ending victory. I think AJ is going to get that at SummerSlam.
Which would be great, which will make up for the WrestleMania loss.
Yeah.
And the Extreme Rules. He lost the Extreme Rules, right? Styles?
Yeah.
Yes. So this will all be worth it because Cena is still recognized as the man. And for a guy like Styles, a quote-unquote TNA guy, to come in and defeat the man, that's great.
I agree. So it's a good work by both guys, and I'm interested to see, you know, looking forward what they do with the club, and you know, there's talks of people moving up from NXT after the brand split, and I think these guys have the potential to be something really special on that SmackDown brand.
Yeah, I figure they're probably both going together so they can continue this feud, but it was good to have Cena back too, by the way.
Yeah, Cena makes a difference. Whether you love him or hate him, there is a definite and noticeable difference on these shows when Cena's back. Like, the interaction with him and AJ, to me, the last few weeks has been probably the best part of Raw.
Yeah, I mean, and I forgot who mentioned, I think Renee mentioned it, first pay-per-view match since October.
Yeah.
For Cena, so.
So we go from there to the titular match of the night. And that's how good we are as a show. We use big words like titular when talking about wrestling. Let's go to the Money in the Bank ladder match, which saw Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho, Cesaro, some Mexican dude who is never going to be a big thing in this company again. And Chris Jericho. I mean, damn, can they do Mexico any dirtier the night after they got smoked by Chili in the Copa?
Why did he come back, by the way?
Money. But is money worth it?
I don't know.
This was a really good match with a lot of interesting spots. And I think Dean Ambrose obviously won because, you know, we just told you that Dean Ambrose cashed in to win the title. But what'd you think of this match? I thought it was a very solid Money in the Bank match. I'm not going to go as far as to say it was the best one I've ever seen, but it was really good.
They're all the same to me at this point, these matches. I mean, you just put in different people,
yeah,
different result at the end, but it feels like the spots are all similar in nature. And it was only, it's like 21 minutes, but it felt like 40 for some reason.
It did.
It was shorter than Styles Cena and shorter than Rollins Reigns, but yeah, it felt longer for some reason.
Were you Because I know a lot of people were predicting the Kevin Owens win, but after that segment on Raw with the Shield in the Ambrose Asylum, I was like, Dean Ambrose is walking out here with that. Was that your thought as well, Marcus?
No, I still thought Owens.
Thought Owens was going to win?
I didn't think Ambrose, but more power to them for going down this road. I'm not sure it's going to help many, but it's at least not Reigns, which makes a lot of people happy.
Who knows, man? Maybe this will be a good thing for Reigns. Maybe the chase will get people invested in him again.
Are you?
I mean, here's the thing. Like, you and I, we've talked about this a couple times on the show. Like, we're not Reigns haters, but the way that they have utilized Reigns has not been effective. And so I'm hoping that this gives them a reason to change up the character, freshen it up, do some different things, but I don't know if they're going
to
do that.
I mean, there's only one way to do it, Reigns, right? It's heel.
He's got to make that Steph Curry heel turn.
Stop fighting it. He's not going to make a babyface at the moment. There's nothing they can do to turn him around to be a babyface, so why not just at least make him a heel? In that way, you can use him as a heel and still have spots for him, because now he's just like, especially with Cena back, it just feels like he's not the focus. He's an afterthought, especially about the belt.
He's got to take out his mouthpiece and throw it at a fan. That'll get him some heat.
And be light skinned.
And be
like, I guess he's Samoan. So
he is kind of light skinned anyway.
That works.
But yeah, so the Money in the Bank ladder match, it was what it was. I thought it was solid, but like you said, there's only so many ways they can try to reinvent the wheel in these type of matches.
Especially with guys who aren't traditionally, you know, in these ladder matches. I mean, Del Rio and Jericho,
yeah,
not two guys you would consider high flyers or anything like that.
I mean, Jericho was at one point, that point is gone.
Jericho's also at 40-something now.
Yeah. let's go to our Father's Day match, Marcus. For the United States Championship, it was Rusev taking on everybody's favorite formerly suspended superstar, Titus, Father of the Year O'Neal.
You remember that Titus O'Neal suspension? Well, Vince McMahon didn't forget. And Vince McMahon decided to get his payback on Titus grabbing his arm tonight, because after Titus took the loss.
Didn't he already do that when he suspended him? What is this, Double Jeopardy, man?
Have you not watched wrestling? It's never over.
It's never over until Vince says it's over.
Vince said, I'll show you a happy Father's Day.
Yeah.
As after Rusev won, Titus, his kids were conveniently planted in the front row of the show, and Rusev decided to cut a promo on Titus' kids, said, your dad's a loser. I mean, I do wonder what Titus thought about this when he got the script and it said, wait, what? You want my kids to be where? So, I mean,
come on, Titus he can't afford to turn down anything at this point.
But that, I mean, come on, that has to hurt.
That's Mr. McMahon is just petty. He's petty as hell. If Vince McMahon was a black singer that made pies, he'd be Petty LaBelle.
I would love to see just a guy be like, you know what? I quit. I'm not doing this. And, you know, you can say, oh, yeah, Titus has been granted his release. And then you can find out the reason why afterward he quit. It's because they wanted to embarrass the man on Father's Day to get back at him for something he served his time for. It's just, it's petty.
Yeah. Like I tell you, man, if Vince McMahon made New Jack Swing music in the 90s, he'd be Petty Riley. I got one more. If Vince McMahon was a former United States president, wait for it, he'd be Petty Roosevelt. Like, this is just, I mean, it was what it was. Like, the match was basically just a buffer to kind of bring the crowd down before the main event. And I didn't really expect anything from this match in the first place. Like, Titus basically served the Jack Swagger, Mark Henry, United States All-American guy that's going to end up getting crushed by Rusev role. Like, he served his role, and now What do you think Rusev goes from here? Because I think that's the more interesting question.
So he needs a baby face.
You think this is a spot for your boy Darren Young?
Ooh, him and Backlund, maybe.
Yeah.
That might be interesting.
They do need to do something with Darren Young. Like he's
they've been
talented.
building this new character. He comes and helps his boy Titus.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. I wouldn't mind that.
And they need to do something with him, man. Like they have seriously done little with, and I'm not saying that they had to do something, you know, addressing his sexuality, but they really haven't done anything with this guy since what was it, that SummerSlam 2 years ago?
Was it before his injury? He tore his ACL.
Yeah, it was before his injury.
Yeah. I am surprised. I mean, this is weird saying this, but I feel like they didn't take advantage of when it was cool to be gay. And by cool, I mean it was more accepted and
right.
People had less of an issue with it. And they've never, which to their credit, and if this is what Darren wants, more power to him, but they've never really addressed his sexuality on television, which is probably good because they probably fucked it up.
So, yeah, see, that's the big thing.
But I feel like they could have pushed it without saying he was gay, just pushed it because people knew he was gay and he was a good wrestler.
Like, I think, who was it? It might have been Brian when we were doing reviewing Impact. And Brian was like, you know, they wouldn't have to openly say that he's a gay wrestler, but you know, when they were doing the Real American thing with Swagger and Zeb Coulter,
mm-hmm.
If you had Darren come out and be like, you know, you guys say that you got to be one way to be a real American, but I'm saying that to be a real American means being yourself, and everybody in here is a real American. You can kind of intimate at the real life story without saying, hey, this is a gay guy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't trust the writers to be able to handle that with some subtlety and some nuance. So
it'd be
maybe
Orlando Jones 2.0.
Yeah, so maybe it's best that they didn't do anything with it.
Oh, no, is it Orlando Jones or Orlando Jordan?
Orlando Jordan.
Orlando Jones is the actor.
Did you stop disrespecting Orlando Jones, who is our Twitter friend, I think.
That's right. Sorry, Orlando.
Orlando Jones, who played the great Clifford Franklin in The Replacements. So the football is like a one-man cold to Clifford Franklin. I'm the only one that's going to catch it. Only one coming down with it. Have you still not seen The Replacements?
Of course not. I've seen Office Space.
It's all okay. Office Space is really good.
He was in
when
that.
He was like, "I'm selling crack. I'm a former crackhead. I'm selling these magazines."
Yeah.
Have you real quick before we get to the main event? Have you still not seen Civil War?
Correct. I'm running out of time here.
You are because we're looking to talk to Ben this week. Ben Morris from Marvel Comics. So I don't know, Marcus. You might have to, you know, either pony up and go to the movies or holler at the bootleg man out there.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
All right. So speaking of figure it out, how did the WWE figure out the world championship match between Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins? Well, we kind of already told you. But let's get back into the actual match itself, Marcus. I was kind of watching the main event, because it happened right after the Cavs won the title. So I had like one eye on the TV watching the celebration and one eye on the laptop watching the match. And it was a solid match. But it wasn't anything great, but it was solid. I think that's kind of the level where we're at with Roman Reigns matches now. Like, they're not bad. Like he went through a point where he just had bad matches.
He's now a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, now he's like at
all
a point
time.
Where he's right. He's not Kevin Nash anymore.
No.
Like, he's going to give you a solid match, but it's not going to be, you know, something to write home about. But, A, were you surprised that Rollins won the title? And then, B, were you surprised when your boy Ambrose came out?
Both. I didn't see this one coming in at all. And
okay.
As we mentioned earlier, I do wonder if it's the ratings or something else going on.
You think they just – because, you know, sometimes the WWE likes to
– swerve.
The swerve is just for the sake of making the internet wrong.
But I feel like that would be more on the ladder match in terms of a swerve. I mean, this was probably the first match of a series of matches, or at least I thought it would be. And I do wonder what they do at Battleground. I think it's too early for the triple threat match, and knowing them, they'll probably do it at Battleground because they don't know what to do with themselves sometimes.
That's why, like, I thought Ambrose was going to win the Money in the Bank, and then I thought Roman was going to win tonight.
Yeah.
And then I thought Rollins would win at Battleground, and then we'd get the cash in. So then that way, Roman would have a claim to a rematch, Seth would have a claim to a rematch, and they just do it at SummerSlam. That's how I thought they were going to get to it. So now, like you said, Battleground becomes really interesting.
I guess you could do Ambrose Rollins at Battleground and then somehow spin that off into a triple threat at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Since technically Roman was the last guy to lose in that match, Roman would have to wait his turn, in theory.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because I think they've, now that we're kind of talking this thing out, I think they've kind of set Roman up in a situation where he's going to have to turn heel or lose face as a baby face. Because it'd be one thing if he lost at Battleground and then had his rematch at SummerSlam, but to, like, now he's got to kind of get back into a match where he's already been kicked out of.
Yeah.
So, unless he does it through nefarious means, then he kind of looks weak as a babyface. So I think we might be getting the Roman Reigns heel turn.
All right.
But then we've got ostensibly 2.5 heels, because I think Rollins is kind of, Ambrose is kind of a tweener.
I don't see any tweening with him. When's he acting like a heel?
Anytime he has one of them stupid-ass asylum matches. He is the biggest heel on my TV because that match with him and Jericho, I still think that might have been.
He's been rewarded for that poor match. They said, that match was so good. Let's make him champion. That makes no sense.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting, man. I think Brian was right this whole time. And I hate saying Brian Mann was right.
Wow. Because you hear this, Brian?
I hate saying the white man was right, huh? Yeah, hate saying, especially that man. but I think, he kept telling us that the creative is going to get really, really bad and then it's going to get good. And I think while it's not perfect, this was a solid show.
Yeah, it was too long. It was 4 hours.
Yeah, like there was a lot of filler. Like, why did we
11
need
11 matches if you count the cash in?
Yeah, we didn't need Cruz and Sheamus. We didn't need, like, Cruz and Sheamus should have been a Battleground match.
Because
it just gets lost in the shuffle with everything else on this card. Corbin and Ziggler, why are they still fighting? They've been fighting since WrestleMania, man. 6 months.
Jeez.
Why were the Dudleys and the Lucha Dragons on the damn show? In the pre-show?
Yeah, didn't need that.
Golden Truth and Breezango, they still fighting?
No, we need 30-minute pre-shows. We don't need an hour pre-show.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going to do the overrun now where you're going 3+ hours. Just cut
real
it
quick,
down to.
I know we said we're only going to talk about the main matches, but the only undercard match that I actually got into a little bit was the tag match. What did you think of that for the titles?
I wasn't paying too much attention. That's when the game started.
Yeah, I expected the New Day to win. I don't think we're going to see a title change until SummerSlam. But, I think it was a little too short, though. Like, it was only about 10, 11 minutes when you got that many bodies in the match.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it could have gone a little bit longer, but I'm glad the New Day held on to it because now I want to see, I don't know, where's Raw tomorrow night, you know?
I don't. Let me try to look at real quick and see.
It'd be great if they were in Cleveland. I'd love to see, like.
They're out west somewhere.
They're out west.
Let's see.
Phoenix. Phoenix, okay. I want to see if Kofi comes back out with the Currys after tonight.
So let's see if there's any Cleveland dates anytime soon. No, they're going to Florida. Then they have that Hawaii, Japan trip.
Real quick, I got to say something about the network because I start
July 4th, Columbus.
July 4th, Columbus? Okay, that could be an interesting show. But I was watching a show on the network, and I started watching late because, I don't watch the network often, but when I do, I get into, like, this wormhole where, like, because I like to use the search feature. They're like, let's look up some Too Cold Scorpio matches.
Then I
watch a Too Cold Scorpio match, and that'll lead me to a Shane Douglas match. I'm like, okay, let's look at Shane Douglas's greatest matches, and I'm watching ECW for the next 10 minutes.
You know, watching
and
then Dean Douglas?
Yeah, I'm watching Dean Douglas, and then I'm like, wait a minute, Shane Douglas versus Ron Simmons? Let's look at some Ron Simmons matches, and then that leads me back to WCW, and before I knew it, it was 8:30, and I hadn't even started the pay-per-view yet. I was watching Harlem Heat and the Nasty Boys at WCW Uncensored.
Oh, God.
Not a great match.
No.
Not a great show at all.
That the first Uncensored?
Yeah, Uncensored 95.
Yeah.
Mm. Not a great show. But I think this has been a great show, Marcus. A great Royal Rant, if you will. And I think we're going to cut a little bit short tonight. Thus is the nature of the Royal Rants. But we got a big show coming up this week, potentially. Like, everything's on paper, right? Everything's on paper. But I don't know. Yeah, if it comes to fruition, not only are we going to talk to senior editor of Marvel.com, Ben Morris, about Civil War and the Marvel Cinematic Universe and X-Men and all this other good stuff for the summertime, but we are going to have an exclusive, and I think we can say exclusive because I don't know anybody else that's trying to holler at Hat Club.
You never know.
he might start to blow up. We're going to have an exclusive conversation with friend of the program, Hat Club Andy, coming off the heels of the Cavaliers Championship. And then the following week, like I said, we're going to try to get Brian Mann on to talk OJ, Made in America, the 30 for 30 documentary, which was really, it was really, really good. Like it, the last three episodes,
Better than the first two?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I like the first two, but the last three episodes, man, they were really interesting. Like, where are you at right now?
I just finished the first two. So okay. I haven't started three yet.
Okay, three is good. Four is where it really takes a turn because they go in depth with the actual crime, and it's like four.
Yeah, I saw the tweets on was that Saturday, Friday?
Yeah, four was like whoa, because I think it was a really good move by Ezra because the first episode really kind of dealt with the college OJ and how race factored in the history of Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Then the second one was kind of like the rise of the fame of OJ and Hollywood Simpson. Not that Hollywood Simpson, boo. But OJ Simpson in Hollywood. The third one, we kind of get into the racial aspect and we get the Bronco chase.
Okay.
And one of the greatest lines still in the history of live television. I'm AC. You know who it is, damn it. But then four, man. Like not that the first three were funny or good times, but, I mean, you had, like, a lot of light moments.
Yeah.
Especially when you had Joe Bell or who's the lawyer?
Oh, Carl Douglas.
Carl Douglas.
By the way, Carl Douglas came to an NABJ meeting in Los Angeles, like, in February. To talk about the trial. That guy, I want to be his friend.
Carl Douglas is the best.
He is the man. And some of his stories, I mean, he's just so charismatic. And
yeah.
I haven't seen a lot of him in the first two episodes, but I know he does get a lot more time coming up.
Yeah, because there's a great story he tells about, I'm not going to say it on the show because you got to watch it, but when he talks about OJ and how they changed his house up for the jurors to look at.
I remember that on the FX show, yeah.
Yeah, when he tells a story, it's...
if I ever get in trouble, I'm hiring Carl Douglas.
Yeah, he was on, what's the show, Max Kellerman and Marcellus Wiley out in L.A.?
Mm-hmm.
I guess he's a frequent guest of theirs, and he was back on this week to talk about the show. And just, like, Carl Douglas, like, he kind of runs away with the show at points, or with the documentary. But then there's, like, this 180 in mood when we go to episode four, and it's like, oh, all the funny games is over. And then episode five, it's this weird resting place because we end up where there's some silly, absurd things, and it gets to, OJ and where he is now and how he got there being locked up. But yeah, it's a really well done documentary. Like, and I think to his credit, he gives Nicole and Ron Goldman, like, this is, to me, is the most attention they've been they've received since the actual trial back in 96.
Fred Goldman needs no extra.
Not 96. What was it, 94?
The murder was 94. The verdict was 95.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry, I was running all that, and WCW all ran together.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a really, really strong documentary, and I think it's like this. You know, people were saying this is the best thing ESPN's ever done. I would say I don't know if I'm gonna say it's the best definitively, but like it's up there. Like this and PTI and SportsCenter to me, like, and 30 for 30 in general as a series, like mm-hmm. those are the best things that the mothership has ever produced.
Yeah, so I'm gonna finish it this week and I'll report back.
All right, sounds good. But until then, Marcus, where can people hit you up if they want to write you and cuss you out about your disdain for one Roman Reigns?
I'm on Snapchat, Instagram, and Twitter at Marco Will, MarcoWill.
All right, and you can follow me on Twitter, N8, MOZAIK, at Nate Mosaic. Follow the show, Cospod, KOS_POD, Cospod on Twitter. Facebook, facebook.com/thekingsofsport. As always, shout out to High Voltage Radio and Place to Be Nation.
One last thing for you. So, right. Kevin Love, the picture on Twitter of him celebrating in the locker room. Take a guess at the shirt he's currently wearing and what he's doing.
I'm assuming it's the championship shirt, right? They just won a championship?
Wrong. He's wearing the Austin 316 shirt, and he's got two beers that he's chugging.
Oh, Kevin Love. I'm happy for Kevin Love because he was taking a lot of abuse this series.
He was.
So now at least, you know, he won't be back next year, but now at least he gets to leave with a ring.
That's good.
Yeah, so we hope you guys enjoyed this special Royal Rant edition of the Kings of Sport, and we will be back not next week, but later on this week with an all-new show. Like we said, we're going to try to have Ben Morris from Marvel.com on, as well as Hat Club Andy, and we got Vanderburgers to talk about. We got to get into my first experience eating Thai food. There's a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff we got to get into this week, Marcus.
Big show.
Like I thought I would be able to ease back into the program coming off my vacation, but there's no rest for the weary.
How was your vacation? Well, we'll talk about your vacation next week. We'll save that.
Yeah, we'll just add it to the pile of things we got to talk about this week. So, again, thanks for downloading the show, and we will be back here next week with an all-new edition of the world's most dangerous sports show, the Kings of Sport podcast. So, for Marcus Vanderburg, I am the godfather, Nate Milton. And to paraphrase Joe Bell from the O.J. Made in America documentary, I said, LeBron, coming back from a 3-1 deficit, you're breaking the laws of God. That was a terrible Joe Bell impression.
That wasn't bad.
That's all I got at 12 o'clock.
Probably hurt your voice.
Yeah, I'm going to be in bad shape going back to work tomorrow. But, hey, I've been out for a week, so they'll probably just be happy to have me there. I'll be the Kevin Love of the squad tomorrow. All right. So for Marcus, I'm Nate. Congratulations, Cleveland. And you've been down with the King.
Well, that's it for this edition of the Royal Rant. Agree with our take? Think we're off base? Or maybe you've got something completely different that you need to vent about. Well, tell us why you're mad on Facebook, facebook.com/thekingsofsport, or on Twitter, Cospod on Twitter. That's KOS_POD, Cospod on Twitter. Time is really wasted.